Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. First thing first, let's begin with this week's Parashas Chaye Sora. The parasha begins Vatama Sara, Bikiryas and Yu Chaye Sara, and then it goes on to tell us Vatama Sara Bikiryas Ami, Yechevan, Yeretz Kanoan, Vayelo Abraham Lispoid, Elis Sara Velev Kaisa. What is the difference between Dechi and Hespid? Okay, it's very rare for Hespid. In fact, Hespid is only appears, I think, twice, by Sara and by Yaakov Avinu. It does not say the word Hespid, not by Avraham, not by Yitzhak, not by Rivka, not by Rachel and Leah. The only two people we find the word Hespid is by Sara and Yaakov. Okay, but I don't know, so let's just, what's the difference between Hespid and Lechis? I saw an interesting idea. In the word Velif Kaisa, we have a small chaf. A small chaf. And all the commentators, they struggle and they suggest different interpretations as to why the letter chaf is small. So one of the ideas I came across is that Yaakov Avinu, Avraham Avinu, when he cried for Sara Imenu, he only cried for the loss of 20 years. What does this mean, 20 years? Very interesting idea. How old was Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah?
37.
And immediately after the Akedah is when Sara Imenu died. That means that Sara Imenu, and when now, Sara Imenu, when she gave birth to Yitzchak, she was 90 years old. But Al Pi Derech HaTeva, a woman who's 90 years old cannot possibly have children. So we learned back in Parshas Vayera that the Malach said to Sara, at the time Rashi brings it down as Chazal, when the Malach said, Hinei Bein L'Sara Ishtecha, she miraculously became physically equivalent to the age of a 12-year-old girl. She turned Simoni Naros. She began to have Damnida. She turned into a Nara. Now, how long was it from the time when the Malach came to Sara until she gave birth to Yitzchak? Exactly 1 year. According to tradition, the Malach came on Pesach and he put a mark in the wall. 1 year from now, you will have a child. If Yitzchak was 37 years old at the time of the Akedah, that means she lived in a state of Naros, or meaning that her clock was reset to the age of Naros at the age of 38 years. So she became a Nara, because 37 plus 1. Yitzchak at this moment in time was 37 years old, and she became a Nara 1 year before. 1 year before, prior, as the Pasuk says, exactly 1 year from then you'll have a child. So 1 year before she gave birth to Yitzchak, she turned into a Nara. How many years does a person, wait, what do you say?
39.
Equivalent to 12. So the clock was reset. At this moment in time, that means it's been 38 years since the clock was reset.
It lasted all that time, or just...
At least when the clock was reset. At least she had a reset. Okay, I don't know if it lasted all that long, but at least 38 years ago, she turned into a Nara. Now, when you add 12 years to 38, what number do you reach? 50. How long does a person live? You can't expect, have tainus HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you live for anything more than 70. Anything more than 70 is a gift. So Aaron Levine, how many years of her life did he cry for her? He only cried for the small chaf. The lif kaisa, there is a small chaf in the word of lif kaisa to indicate that Avraham Avinu was crying for 20 years, meaning, according to this interpretation, Sarah really should have lived for at least another 20 years. She was 127 years old. She should have really lived to the year 147. Why another 27? Why another 20? Why another 20 is 20? Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did reset her clock 38 years ago, 38 years ago she was equivalent to the age of a 12-year-old girl. And since a person lives for 70 years, and now 38 years have passed since she became a Nara, for a grand total of 50 years, so she really should have lived for another 20 years. So when Avraham Avinu cried, he cried because he felt that Sarah could have contributed to this world for another 20 years. Now you take that word vlevkos and you contrast it against the word lispoi. So what then is the word for hesped? Hesped means to eulogize the milos of the years that you did live. Every time a person dies, there is two things that are done. There is hesped and vechi. The focus of hesped is to eulogize the accomplishments of what a person did in the years that he was here on this world. Bechi, the focus of crying and sadness, is the loss of what more the person could have done had he lived more in this world. Sarah, we have this idea is brought out here in Sarah, because Sarah Imenu, her life was reset when she was 89 years old to the age of a 12-year-old girl, which means that she should have lived until the seemingly at least the age of 70. And according to the calculations, she basically, how old was she when she died? In her new Gilgal, in this world, she was only 50 years old when she died. Sarah was 127 years old, but really she was only 50 years old when she died, because she was reset to a Naira. If she was reset to a Naira and she lived another 38 years, 38 plus 12 is 50, she had another 20 years to go. Therefore, Avraham came lispoid lissara vilif kaisa. There is a small chaf in the word of lif kaisa to indicate that he cried for 20 years. Now we understand that the crying over the loss of a person is focused and is directed towards the things the person could have accomplished, that loss of potential that is gone had the person lived a full life. What then is the meaning of hesped? The meaning of hesped then is to eulogize over the accomplishments that the person achieved in his lifetime, the time that he was here in this world.
Lispoi,
Okay, that's an idea. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Back at the end of Parshas Vayera, after the Akedah concludes, we have the Ichos. And we have all these names. Seemingly, these names are not important. It's Utz Bechor Avias Buzachiv, Vias Kuala Viarom, Vias Kesed, Vias Chazoy, Vias Pildosh, Vias Yidlof, Vias Bisuel. Rashi, the last Rashi in Parashas Vayera, says, why do we have to know all of these names, the Yichus? Everything was only written in order, Kol HaYichusin Halalu LaNichtavu Ela B'Shvil Pasek Zeh, to get to this pasuk to reveal to us the ace bisuel over suel Yolanda Srifka. Shmon el yolgal milkol l'rochrachi Avram. But there's a very big problem. The problem is Rashi tells us why all the pasukim were written until pasuk Chav Gimel. He does not tell us why the very last pasuk of Parshas Vayera is in the Torah. What's the very last pasuk? Ufilak shoy bisuel. Not only did he have a regular wife, which produced Rivka, he had a pilegesh, and the pilegesh is a shma ruuma. Her name was named Uma. We know what her name is. And what did she have? She had a whole bunch of children. Vatilim gamhi es tevach v'eskacham v'estachash. I'm assuming those are males. And the last one, v'esmacha, she had a girl also. So it's a pillow. What is this? It's difficult enough to understand why all of the tzukim until the very last pasuk are written in this parasha. Rashi at least comes to the rescue and tells us we want to know about the yichus of Rivka. So that's why we learn about Nochor and Milka. But what is it necessary? The Pilegesh. We need to know about the Pilegesh. Rashi does not comment on that very last possible why it is necessary. Even on the Yom Noiroyim, when we only focus on the Akedah, we're very selective in what we read. Chazal could have done away with this entire Aliyah. Yet Chazal, the Akedah, and the very last Aliyah, and the second day Rosh Hashanah, we have to learn on the Yom Hadin about the Yichus of Milka and Nochor. It's a struggle. It's a very big struggle. And Rashi is struggling. But after everything is said and done, there's one thing that you're not going to satisfy. Why we need to know about the Pilegesh. That last, the very last pasuk in Parshas Vayera could have been done away with and we wouldn't even blink. So what is it doing there? So that's what I want to talk about. So here I saw a very interesting answer to this question, a very beautiful answer. We know that there were three people that did something that was not proper and they got lucky. Two got lucky and one was unlucky. Four people. So what are the four? First, we have Shaul. Shaul said, anyone that will come along and kill Goliath will get my daughter in marriage. So anyone could have come along and killed Goliath. Who knows? It could have been an Orel, a non-Jew. Who was the one that ended up killing Goliath? David HaMelech. No, Shaul got lucky. He couldn't get a better son-in-law. He got David HaMelech. Okay, then we have Eliezer. We have the parasha of here. Eliezer did something that appears to be foolish. A girl that will come along and will draw water from the well. I will give them my daughter. Will be the shidduch for Yitzhak. Who knows? He could have had Chazal say a chiger, a woman, a sum of a chiger. Who knows who could have come along? Who knows who could have come along? Would have been the one that would have been set aside for? Okay. Then we have Yiftach. Yiftach made a very big mistake. Yiftach was in battle. He made a nether, and he said that if I succeed in battle, then the first thing that comes out of my home will be a carbon to Hashem. He had a bad fortune that his daughter came out of the door first, and he mistakenly believed that he had to offer her as a carbon, and there's a very big question exactly what happened to her. Did he actually offer her as human sacrifice, or did he just put her away in isolation and she never married for the rest of her life? Okay, fine. But the question over here is it really true? Is it really true that Chazal are criticizing Eliezer? Eliezer over here is standing by the well and he makes a statement. The person who comes to the well and draws water from the well will be a wife for my master's daughter. What would happen if a man would come? A man, a male, what does that mean automatically? Impossible, you can't. There's no such thing as a marriage. What happens?
He said Hanara.
Okay, now. But the question is, if a woman who was unfit, who was non-Jewish, or completely unfit, would have come to the well to draw water, it's not likely that it's included in his statement that this would be a zivuk for Yitzhak. Even Yiftach, Chazal say, Yiftach me'ikar hadin was not bound to keep his vow. It was a mistake. It was a toss. All he needed to do was to go to Pinchas, to go to the Navi, and Navi could have a freedom from the vow. So why is it so foolish? If someone who would have come to the well would have not fulfilled the conditions, it would not be fulfilled. It would be clear that this person is not roy for the family of Avraham Avinu and would be dismissed. So why is it considered to be such a foolish thing? The answer is, that is why the Torah went out of its way. This is an idea. I saw this idea. I don't know where I saw this. That is why the Torah went out of its way to write another pasuk. Because there is one person in the world. There is one person in the world that would have fulfilled every single condition of Eliezer and would have ended up being Yitzchok's wife, and no one could say boo. And we would have said, this is a proper shirah. Who would that have been? Macha. If Macha would have come out, she was the daughter of a Pilegesh, she was not the daughter of Besuel's wife. Okay, it wasn't from a wife, it was from a Pilegesh. She was the proper yichus. She had the best yichus. She was a daughter from Eretz Moiladati, the base of all of the conditions that Avram gave, all the conditions that Avram gave to Eliezer. She has to live in the land of Aram Naharayim, where Avraham Avinu came from. She was part of his mishpacha. She has good midos, very good midos. She came, she would have come out and would have drawn water from the well. She would have fulfilled every condition. But it wasn't the right shidduch. Chazal criticized Eliezer and they say he did something which was foolish. If not for the Hashgacha Pratzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarding over Yitzhak and Avram to make sure that Yitzhak married the one that was meant to be, there was one other candidate that could have very easily been in the right place at the right time, or you say the wrong place and the wrong time, and that is Macha. And therefore the Torah is writing this pasuk to tell us that there is such a person called Macha who was a potential danger for Klal Yisrael, and we should appreciate the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done with Klal Yisrael to guarantee that Yitzchak married and Hashem Yotza Hadavar married the proper person. So it's not just we have the Yichus, it's very that answer Rashi to Kirov Uvisuel Yilad Esrif Hashman Eliel Demukalach Rach Yavram Rashi, that's the last Rashi in the last parsha. The Rashi stops the pasuk before the last pasuk. We need to have this pasuk to reveal to us the Yichus to know there's something called the Besuel. But just because there's the Besuel, Besuel had two daughters. He had a Rivka and he had a Macha. And it could have gone either way. It could have gone in Eliezer. He put himself in a vulnerable situation where one of these two could have come outside. And therefore, this pasuk reveals the unusual hashkacha process that goes into shiduchim. And it's interesting that this is the last pasuk we read about on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we conclude the Kriyas HaTorah with the revelation, there are dangers out there. There are things out there that seem to be fine and good. There's Macha. There's nothing wrong with Macha, at least from what we can see. But it's not the ultimate benefit for Klal Yisrael. And you need Siyato Deshmaya, the Hashem Yotzer HaDavar, to make sure there's only that much you can do. Only that much Hashtalos you can do. You need Siyato Deshmaya to guard you, to protect you, that everything should come out. Should come out properly. Yeah, that's what he was misspelled for. That is what he was misspelled for. Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have
why I am by Rabbi Yudidya. This here, it's the same question from the Nazir. Just
what?
The same question about Eliezer and what you just discussed.
Yes.
There's another tshuva that's in the why I am.
So the YM, you have an idea? Okay, we have to check it out. Okay, let's go to another short idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about Chazal, when Avraham Avinu repeats what happened twice. The entire story, the details of the story of Yitzchak and Rivka are repeated twice in the parasha. And Rashi, when Eliezer begins to describe in detail to Lavan and Mesul what has happened, Rashi says, "Yofes sichoson shel avi avos yosem mitarasen shel banim." It is more beautiful before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idle talk of the servants of the avos, more so than the actual Torah of the children. There are many halachas and shulchan aruch, complex simanim shel aruch that are based upon a drush, a remes, an ois in the Torah. And yet, when it comes over here to the entire discussion of what happened by the well with Rivka and Eliezer, we have the entire story repeated twice. So the question over here is, what exactly is so chashuv about this story that had to be repeated in detail twice? So I think the key word to focus on is the word sichoson. Chazal could have used any word they want to describe this dialogue, this discussion. The word they chose to use is Yofe Sichoson Shel Avi Avos. The word Sicha plays a very prominent role, a lot of importance in this week's parasha, because that's the word that Yitzchak is used in reference to Yitzchak when he went to be Mispal. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh. Chazal darshan, what does it mean? Losuach to be Mispal? And at that moment in time, he was Misakin Tfilas Mincha. So we learn over here that Sicha is a code word for the Koyach of Tfila. And therefore, if that is correct, this Maimon Chazal that Rashi quotes takes on a whole new meaning. It's true. The Torah repeats the details of what happened with Eliezer and Rivka twice. But what is the focus? What is the ikar part of the story? So you would say it's the chesed to describe in great detail the chesed. That's now what Chazal are coming to emphasize. They're coming to emphasize the Koyach of Tfila. Eliezer, in this story, 15 times mentions Hashem's name. 15 times. Eliezer begins, when he repeats the story, he describes, he begins, Vayoymar, we have a Shalsheles, Vayoymar, Hashem, that means he was Marich in Tfilah. Hashem, Elokei Adonai Avraham, Hakrei No Lefonai Hayom. All of the expressions here are very powerful expressions of Tfilah. Hakrei means Nikra. It's a chance occurrence. Nothing is a chance occurrence. When it comes to the Koyach HaTzilut, you are allowing Kadosh Baruch Hu to enter into your world and to orchestrate events that results in your benefit. Hakrei no is tefillah lefonai hayal asei chesed zuchus avos in Adonai Avraham, and v'chulu. When you go through the entire event, the entire series of psukim, what Chazal are telling us is focus on the koyach of tefillah of Eliezer. This is what is yofer lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is Torah. It's true. There's no question. There's Torah and there is tefillah. But the koyach of tefillah has a certain yofi, a certain beauty before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more so sometimes than complex shiurim. When you learn Torah, sometimes you can forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a famous one who did Rashivas, he would give a clap in the middle of Seder, and he would tell him, oh, Rabbi, I just want to remind everyone over here in the yeshiva, you learn such gevaldik haslada. Don't forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes you can learn and it becomes an intellectual pursuit and you forget the ik and you forget where it comes from. The sicha, the koyach of tefillah of Eliezer, who is a product of growing up in the home of Avraham Avinu, is more yof and more beautiful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the actual learning of Torah, because sometimes Torah you can forget, you can come to be in midos, you can lose control, but when you're davening, you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great pleasure from. Now, with that idea in mind, I just want to make a ha'ara. I don't know if there's any truth. There's a very well-known question that how could Rashi tell us that Sarah was 100, when she was 100, she was like 20 with regard to chet. Just like a person who's 20 years old is potter from chet, because until you're 20 years old, you're not a bohen. So until you're 100 years old, you're not, she had no chaton. And then when it says the number 7, just like a girl who is 7 years old is beautiful, likewise when she was 20 years old she had that same beauty. All the commentators ask, in today's day and age, a girl who's 20 years old has a more sophisticated beauty than a child of 7 years old. So what is Rashi comparing the beauty of when she was 20 years old, she was beautiful like 7 years old. L'chaira, 20 years old is a time when a woman is more beautiful than when she's 7 years old. So you can today, like this and like this, what does it mean? Beauty means, it means innocence, a certain innocence that a child has that a 20-year-old does not have. Okay, or you can say a chayin of a child, or you can say that in Tanya Chazal they were different, they grew at an accelerated pace. When a person then was 7 years old, it's equivalent today of a person being today when you're 30 years old. So when you're 20 years old, it's like you're already 100 years old. So when you're 100 years old, you have no wrinkles. So that's the idea. Okay, these are all different answers you can play around with. But there's a much more basic question, and that is, why does the Torah give emphasis to the Yoifi? The Torah, it's seemingly a shocking thing. The Torah is a spiritual sefer. The Torah over here is coming to write, Nea Shana, Ve'eshim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim, to tell us that she was beautiful. Torah, this is something for a Medrash to tell us, that Rivka was a beautiful woman. Ve'anari Yifei, that says by Rivka, you have to emphasize it again. We already know that she was beautiful. We already know in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hinei No Yadad Kiisha Yifas Mare'ot. We know the Sirin. So why do we have to emphasize this again? What's what Teretz says? Chazal in this week's Parsha answer the question. They only use the word Yoifi in connection to Tefillah. When it comes to the Koyach Tefillah, this is the fact. A child's Tefillah, says Chazal, a child's Tefillah is beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu more so than the tefillah of an adult. Because a child, the hevel tinoiko is shel beis rabba. A child is mamor mayor chazal, a child is free from chait, a child is innocent, a child is able to make that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu easier than an adult before a person becomes corrupt to some degree. The koyach of tefillah of a child is more precious and is more potent before HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the tefillah of an adult. So perhaps, and when is the zman chiv, when a child begins to daven? So Chazal say 5 or 6 years old. And when we say 5 or 6 years old, that really means, in the Torah's terminology, 7 years old. Because 7 years old means you're in the beginning of your 7th year. When we call the child 6 years old, when we say 6 years old, it means he's now in his 7th year. He has completed 6 full years of his life, and he is now in his 7th year. So I'm just saying a ha'ora. Then maybe when it means over here that when she was 20 years old, she was beautiful, like a 7-year-old, it means beautiful here in the parasha itself. Yofi here is Yofi Sichoson Shalom. Adiyavos. In this parasha itself, we learn that the Taitshav Yoifi is a term that is used in connection with the Koyach of Tzvila. That Sora Imenu, her Koyach of Tzvila, at the age of 20, when she was a full-fledged adult, was as innocent, as potent, at the Hevel Tineko Shobet Shaban, like a child who was 7 years old, which I'm saying means when you're beginning your seventh year, when you're 6 years old, which is the Zaman in Shulchan Aruch when a child fully enters into the world of appreciating the koyach of tefillah. The time when Shulchan Aruch is 5, 6 years old, you start when your father taught you 6 years old, that's already the Zaman you think about children, when they really begin to appreciate what it means to connect to Daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment in time, the first moment in time when you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no more potent tefillah than that. You fully acknowledge as a Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm here, I'm davening to you. It's not yet the moment of mitzvah sanashim limuda. 20 years old, she's already an adult. I'm already used to davening already for many, many years. But it was yoifi. The yoifi is not the physical yoifi, it's the yoifi that has been defined for us in the parasha, the yoifi of the koyach ha-tfila. Okay, let's go now. Once talking about tfila, let's go to another idea of tfila. When Yitzchak came to daven, it says, V'yitzchak bo mi bo be'er lachai ro'i. Yitzchak was returning from Be'er Lachai Ro'i, V'hu Yoshev Eretz HaNegev, V'yeitze Yitzchak L'suach B'Soda. Yitzchak went out to be Mispalo. The moment before Yitzchak went to be Mispalo in the Soda for a Zivuk, he returned from Be'er Lachai Ro'i. Rashi says, Al-Derech Pshat, why did he go to Be'er Lachai Ro'i? He went to restore Hagar to Avraham. Avraham no longer had a wife, so he wanted that he should remarry, should take back Hagar. Hagar should be the wife of Avraham Avinu. Now, Al Derech Drush, we can suggest, and this is not my idea, I've saw this idea in different forms, I just want to elaborate a little bit on this, is that when the Hakdom, when Yitzhak went to be Mispalel, we know that from Avraham and Yaakov, their tefillah was inaugurated for a special cause. Avraham was Mispalel, he established Shachris against the backdrop of Sodom. Sodom, Shoim, wicked people. Avram was mispalel. He returned Elamachma Sha'amat Sham as Pnei Hashem. He was mispalel against the backdrop of Sodom. Yaakov Avidu was mispalel when he was running away from Esav. He was afraid that Esav would kill him. He was mispalel Myriv to be spared from Esav in preparation to going to Lavan. Yitzchak also, before he established the tefillah of Mincha, he went to visit a special location to appreciate, to get an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve as a catalyst for his innovation of establishing the tefillah of Mincha. And what was that? Be'er Lachai Ro'i. What happened in Be'er Lachai Ro'i? This was the place where Hagar fled from Sarah. After Hagar became pregnant, Vatekal Gevirta Be'eneha, she looked down at Sarah. Look, you've been married to Avram for so many years and you have not pregnant. I got pregnant immediately. She looked down. Sarah was not pleased with her attitude. So Sarah drove her out of the home. And Hashem said to Sarah, Kol Asher Toim Arsar Shema BeKoylo. Well, that was later on. I'm sorry, that was later on. But Sarah drove her out. So when Hagar went out, the Malach came to her, and the Malach said to her, I want you to return. I want you to return back to Sarah, and humble yourself, the Hisani Tachas Yadecha, humble yourself before her. Vayebul Malach Hashem Harbo Arbe Zarech, do not worry, you will have a lot of children, v'lo yisofer merov, v'chulu v'chulu. And after this entire conversation was over, it says in the Pasuk, Vatikra Shem Hashem Hadoiver Eleho Ato Kel Ro'i. You are Kel Ro'i, Ki Omra Hagam Haloim Ro'isi Acharei Ro'i Alkein Koro La'be'er Be'er Lachai Ro'i. This is where this location derived its name. It was after the Malach had a conversation with Hagar, told her to return, told her that she would have a child and everything would be okay. She named this place Be'er Lachai Ro'i. And Rashi explains why she named this place called Hagam Haloim Ro'isi Acharei Ro'i. Rashi says, Loshon Tema, Loshon Tema, V'chi Savur HaYisi, Would I even imagine in my wildest dream Sha'af Haloim Bimid Borois in the desert? Ro'isi Shaluchoi Shalokoim. Can it really be that in the desert a Malach would come to me? Acharei Ro'i Oisam Bevesoi Shalavrohom. Shashom Ha'isi Regilo Lirois Malachim. When I was in the home of Avraham Avinu, then I was very familiar with seeing angels. The home of Avraham Avinu was like the Beis HaMikdash. Malachim would come every day for dinner, for lunch, for breakfast. It was a place where Malachim would frequent. But I never in my wildest dreams thought I would see Malachim in the zoo, out here in the desert. That I never imagined. I'm shocked. The teda she was the teda shoyser regila liros shari manoyach ros amalach. So it goes on to talk about. So it's therefore hagam haloim. Is it true that even here the malachi Hashem, the shluchim shel hamokoyim, can be present even outside of an environment of the home of Avraham Avinu? So she named this place. She named the place Be'er Lachai Ro'i. It's a place where I've seen Malachim. I've seen the Ribbono Shel Olam's messengers. Yitzchok Avinu, when he now went by Yitze Yitzchok Losuach Basode, the koyach of Yitzchok's tefillah is very different than Avraham. Avraham returned El Halokoim Asher Omad Shomes Pnei Hashem. Avraham Avinu, when he established the koyach tefillah, he established the koyach tefillah in a lokom kavua. In a Mokoim, a designated place, a place where he was designated for the Shechina to rest. Yitzchak is an innovator. He's saying there's a koyach of tefillah in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki beisi beis tefillah yikorei l'chol ha'amen. We come to the Beis HaKnesses, the Mikdash Ma'at. This is a Mokoim HaTefillah. But sometimes you need to come on to the koyach HaTefillah even in the Soder, even in the middle of nowhere. Even when you're on the subway, you need to come on to the Koyach HaTefillah. Can it really be such a thing? Can it really be? Can we really expect to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're in the Sodeh? When you're out in the middle of nowhere? Therefore, as a hakdama, as an introduction, he went to the place where the Malachim came to visit a woman in the middle of nowhere. Be'er Lachai Ro'i. She called that location. After I've seen the real thing, I've seen the Malachim in the home of Avraham Avinu, can it really be that Malachim will even come into a desert, a place where there's no Kedusha, even there HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reach extends, where you can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is why first, the Yitzchak Bo Mibo Be'er Lachai Ro'i. After we fully absorb that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can exist, even outside the Hamakom HaShoras HaShechina, now he can proceed Vayetze Yitzchok Losuach Basode to establish a tefillah mikoyach of the Sode. Wherever you are, you can daven. And this tefillah goes hand in hand with the koyach tefillah of Shiduchim, because Shiduchim is the wild. Shidduchim, when it comes to Shidduchim is not something. Shidduchim is something which by nature is something where you have to leave your comfort zone to go and find where to find a zivah. It's not something which is localized. The whole nature of a shidduch is al kein ya'azov ish es all of the emo the dovak me'ishto. It's abandoning your home, your comfort zone. So you have to leave your makom where you've grew up to go out. It's vayetze to the soda. Hakdama to the tefillah of Shidduchim is be'er lachai ro'i, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in places that you never would have imagined. Even out there in the wild, you'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this theme of be'er lachai ro'i, we should be aware, is tripled. It's a chut ha'mishulash, because it appears once again at the end of the parasha. Where did Yitzchak Avinu settle down after he got married and he took Rivka into his home? He lived vayeshev Yitzchak. The Be'er Lachai Ro'i, the very end of the parasha. End of the parasha. Pasuk Yud Al. Vayhi Acharei Lois Avraham. Vayivarech Elokim Es Yitzchak Bino. Vayeshev Yitzchak in Be'er Lachai Ro'i. The Bayis Uschoraf. Avraham Avinu has died. He's been buried. He's gone. My Shoresh, where I've come from, I'm now out. I've Yazov. And now, what do I need to survive in my life? What's the lesson? The lesson in life is now we have to survive the koyach of Be'er Lachai Ro'i of Hogar. Hogar, it's an amazing contribution Hogar made to Klal Yisrael. Okay, it's not that we live among the Arabs. It's very hard to accept some of these things. But Hogar introduced this concept of Be'er Lachai Ro'i. That is the place where Yitzchak went in Hagdama. And that's the place where he settled. He recognized this is what life is. Life, you start off in a makom, you're raised, you're groomed, but then it comes a time you go out to the Be'er Lachai Ro'i, and the person should recognize Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, Hashem is wherever, in all locations of the world. What? Okay, guest speaker, guest singer. I wouldn't be so bad. I'm certain he has a lot to tell us. A lot to learn from him. No doubt about it. Okay, let's go to another short idea. This week, we all know the famous Chazal, Rabbi Akiva was darshaning, and he saw that the tzibur was about to fall asleep. So what did he do? He said, why was it that Sarah Yimeinu was zochet to live 100? Why was Esther Hamalka merit to rule over 127 provinces? Provinces. Because she was a descendant of Sarah Yimeinu who lived for 127 years. So the message was, you have to realize every moment of your life has consequences, ramifications, with doyos. Every single day of Sarah's life was of value, and Zeluazed that meant that 1,000, 2,000 years later, her descendant was able to reap the benefits, and she ruled over 127 different locations. Just like Derech Agav, the Chidushi Harim says, what's the message? What was he trying to tell his Talmidim? What was Rehu trying to tell his Talmidim? Very nice. 127. Well, in Medina, think of New York City. New York City, there are 8 million people live in New York City. Every street, every avenue, every block, you're dealing with 100,000 people. Okay, you're dealing with thousands. The real estate value, the real estate, you know, in one little corner, one little building, it's millions. Can you imagine how much value? So if you take a person's life and you break it down into years, into days, into hours, into minutes, into seconds, basically every second is another building. In Manhattan, a building is $10 million. Or if you're dealing with the whole country, the whole world, 127 medinas, it's the whole world. The whole world. So break that down into real estate, into buildings, into streets. Every second is another building. Every minute is a whole block. If a person would realize that every second of life has such value, you put their life in terms of dollars and cents, you wouldn't waste a half a second. A half a second is $5 million. If Sari Imenu, she lived a life of 127 years, and from that came a woman who ruled over 127 medinos, Zelu Mazeh, every second of her life was Shokel Kineged, another block. And a block, you're dealing with thousands of people. You're moishel over 1,000 people. And the value of money is enormous. That was the man. That's how the Chidush Arim learns the Musar and what she was trying to tell, what Rabbi Kiva was trying to tell the Talmidim. I just want to make one short ha'ara. Okay, just a short idea. It says here, Vayovav liv kois liz sarah, lispoid liz sarah v'liv koisa. A chaf is a small chaf. According to some of the commentators, when there's a small letter, it's telling us, delete the letter and read the word as if there is no letter in that word. So if we delete the chaf from the word, v'liv kaisa, it would only be ta. Vayovay Avraham, lispoid lissaro, uli bita. Chazal tell us that Avraham had a daughter. V'ashem ne'erach es Avraham bakol. Bakol means he had a daughter. Her name was Bakol, and she died. It was a tragedy. She died during that period of time that Sarah Yimeinu died. So Avram eulogized and he mourned over the loss of Sarah. It also brought up Tsar, the loss of his daughter. He eulogized for her, Ulibita, and for her daughter. But some of the commentators tell us that this word Ulibita really is alluding to who is the Bita. The Bita is is Esther Hanalka. And what does Esther Hanalka have to do with Sar? Well, first of all, they both have in canon 127. Rabbi Akiva tells us Sar lived 127 years, and Esther ruled over 127 medinos. So Esther was the bitah of Sarah. What's the significance? Why did Sarah die? How did Sarah die? She died as a result, a consequence of the Akedah. It's not exactly clear what that means. There are many interpretations. The Malach came and told her that Yitzchak was offered as a carbon, as a human sacrifice, and she did know that he did not die, whatever the case was. But one thing is clear: when she heard that her son Yitzchak was offered on the mizbech as a carbon, the Akedah. When in the history of Klal Yisrael was there something which was the equivalent to the Akedah in the big picture of things, only once in the whole history of Klal Yisrael? The time of Purim. Even the time of Purim was even a greater threat than the Holocaust. Lahashmid, laharog, ula'adet, eskol ha'yehudim, minar, v'yadzokin, taf, v'noshim, v'yom echad. Even Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, did not have shlit over the whole world. He had ambitions. But at the time when he tried to carry out his master plan, he did not have shlita, and even himself to some degree disguised it. It's very hard, you know. The everything was done in very great secrecy among his among Eichmann and all of his officers. But the time the Klal Yisrael faced the greatest sakana, in other words, Klal Yisrael as a whole is equivalent to the Akedah. Just like Yitzhak, which represented the future of Klal Yisrael, was brought up on the Mizbeach as a carbon of Kiddush Hashem, the whole Klal Yisrael was brought up on the Mizbeach to be offered as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the decree of Haman and Achashverosh, Lahashmid, Laharu, Galam, Nitzkola, Yehudim. And we both survived. Yitzchak survived, and Klal Yisrael survived. But there was collateral damage. What was the collateral damage? The collateral damage was Parcha Nishmasa. Sorry, Yimeinu was Nifter. She died prematurely. Who knows what would have been had she lived another couple of years? Who knows how this world would have been different? What was the collateral damage in the time of the Megillah? Kasher avaditi, avaditi. And it's not just a simple little thing, so she didn't live with Mordechai. Obviously, if Chazal are telling us kasher avaditi, avaditi, just like we have no appreciation, what would have been had Sora lived, had not died at that moment in time, it would have been a different world, had Esther Hanalka not been separated from Mordechai, who knows the dynamic duo, who knows what they could have accomplished, those two together, what they could have accomplished in this world had they not been separated. But there was collateral damage for Hashem Avadati Avadati. And therefore it gives this pasuk an entirely new meaning. Vayovo Avraham lispoid lisara, to eulogize Sarah ulibita, and her daughter Esther Hanalka. My wife Sarah and Esther Hanalka, they are two sides of one coin. They both led Klal Yisrael, the matriarch of Klal Yisrael, both of them, and both of them lived in a tekufa when Klal Yisrael was threatened with Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak, the future of Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael, Lahashmi Laharob, and both of them died as collateral damage, or suffered as collateral damage of this Akedah. Kasher Avadati Avadati, Parcha Nishmasa, when she heard that Kimat Shemanishchata Bina, and therefore Abraham at this moment in time eulogized both. Lesara, Ulebita, the Bita that had the 127 Medinois, which clearly is a link to Sari Menu that lived for 127 years. Okay, let's go to another short var. This is just some he'oros. Rivka meets Eliezer. Eliezer is not very demanding. He's very gentle. And he says to her, can you please give me something to drink? Camels? He didn't mention one word about the camels. Rivka comes out, even though he says, Even though Eliezer says to himself, I will not ask her to give water, to draw water for the camels. The only thing I'm going to ask this girl for is to give me a drink of water. The test really is, will this young woman, will she draw water for the camels as well? So he comes, and she comes, she sees him, and she says to him, give me, please, a little bit of water. Not a lot of water, just a little bit of water. And the camels, forget about the camels, they're just animals. Don't worry about the animals. And I'm going to give the camels also. Can it really be? The pasuk cannot be clearer than this. Kasher kilu hagimalim. It was not over until the camels had their fill. Lishtois, and then only. Vayikach ish nezem zochav. The shirch was complete. Okay, very good. That's just one hara hakdama to what I want to try to suggest. Try to just not just a short hara. Later in the parasha, all the commentators, they ask this question, and they don't really give an answer. It's really a shock. It's a very good question. Yitzhak goes out, l'suach basadeh, and what does he see? He sees in the distance, gemalim. He goes, gemalim. He sees gemalim coming. Here it is. Vayitzhak goes out, basadeh, gemalim boim. Is that what you see? You see the animals? Why doesn't it say that he saw Eliezer? Why doesn't it say that he saw Rivka? Why does the Torah say the only thing that he sees are the gemalim boim? If you can see the camels, you can see the people. This is a question. Okay, so what? Why doesn't he make mention that he saw what got him excited? You see what you want to see. That's always the rule of life. You see what you want to see. He wanted to see the gemalim. That's what made an impression upon him. So the question over here is, what's going on here with gemalim? Everything is about the gemalim. The test is, will she sustain the gemalim? What impresses Yitzchak when he's mispalah for a shidduch ish, he sees the gemalim. Where are the gemalim? I want to see the girl, right? You go on a date. What, you want to see the girl, not the restaurant. We're looking for the Mercedes. You're in a lot of trouble. Okay, you want to see the girl. So I want to make a suggestion. The suggestion is the gemalim are symbolic. Eliezer arrives in town. A person comes to town. He says, you know, I'm thirsty. When you look at a person, when you look at another person in this world, how do you look at them? This guy, he's just a free rider. He's just this person. Here he is. He's a tourist. He's on vacation. He's here to have a good time. All right, he has needs, so I'll take care of his needs. That's one way to look at a person. If you have a more depth to you, when you look at a person, you look at the person is not just a person who's hungry. He's here on a mission. This individual, if he's here, he's not just stumbled in, he fell out of the sky, and here I am, just give me a drink. Why are you here? You have a mission. You have an objective. You're trying to accomplish something. The difference between the two is, if a person comes with an entourage, and you have camels, that's the mission. On the camels, why do you have 10 camels? You're going somewhere. There's an objective. You're trying to accomplish something. If you want to take care of the person alone, you'll just give the person what he needs. Your mission in life, that's not my problem. I don't care about your mission. But if you look at a person with greater depth, and you look at him as not just an individual, but as part of a larger goal to accomplish something greater, you're here to accomplish something, let me help you. A collector comes to town, right? A guy comes in Eretz Yisrael, comes into shul. Oh, it's nice to see you. Oh, let me give you a cup of coffee. Here, come into the back room, I'll give you a cup of coffee, some cake. Have a nice day. That's one way to look at a person. On the other hand, why is this guy here? He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So why is he coming here to visit the shul? It must be he's here for a reason. He's collecting for an organization. Or he's here because he needs medical issues. You're here for a reason. What can I do to help you succeed in your mission? I have contacts. People can give you money. I have contacts in the health industry to help you get what you need. Am I looking at you because you're hungry today, or am I looking at you because I want to help you succeed in your mission? Rivka, when she saw Eliezer, she did not just see the man Eliezer. She saw the Gemalim. The Gemalim is the entourage. She saw that this man is here with a mission. Let me help you accomplish your goal. I'm not just going to give you a cup of coffee. You're here for a reason. You have a lot of baggage. Obviously, there are a lot of things that you have to accomplish over here. Let me help you get where you need to go and succeed in your mission. That's when you have that type of kavana, then you don't just give the person a cup of coffee, you give a cup of coffee to all of the gemalim. You give them the gemalim as well. This is the gadlus that Eliezer was looking for. I'm going to come into shul. If she's going to say to me, good morning, how are you, here's a cup of coffee, that's not who I want for my master, for Yitzchak. I want a girl that's going to right away figure out that if I'm here, I'm here for a purpose, and she's going to help me accomplish my goal. She doesn't know I'm here for a shidduch. She probably thinks, yeah, I'm collecting for a kol in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So, but it's also praiseworthy. That's the type of person that I want. When Yitzchak saw Vayar v'hinei gemalim bohim, what did he see? He saw gezunta gemalim. You can water a gomel. You give it just a little bit of water, and you can water a gomel, you can fill it all the way up to the top. Yitzchak saw, the gemalim, this is a push. He saw the product. Like, what did you accomplish? He always asked, what does the girl do? Right? Let's see the resume. What has she accomplished in life thus far? Yitzchak, he didn't want to hear about the girl or see the girl. He first wanted to know her accomplishments. Vayar, vayiseinu, vayar, v'hinei gemalim bo'in. The gemalim was a product of Rivka. Rivka watered its symbolic. Rivka watered the gemalim. Rivka understands that a person is here for the bigger picture, for a mission, for a mission in life, and therefore this is what inspired Yitzchak. He knew that this indeed was the shidduch. What? That's the question. And that would be the big question. That would have been the big test. That's why it would have been a foolish. Would have been a foolish thing. Okay. Let's see another short, very short idea. This is a very good question. I don't have an answer. Do not have something to think about. This is a fantastic question. When Lavan said to Eliezer, okay, we're masking to the shidduch. What were their exact words? Hinei Rivka lefanecha kach v'lech. You want her? You can have her. Put her in a box. We'll package her up for you. We'll wrap her up for you. Okay, we'll wrap her up for you, and you can have her. Kach v'lech. Usihi isha, and may she be a wife leven adoinecha, to the son of your master. The son of your master. Who's the son of your master? Eliezer is the Eved Avraham. Avraham is the master, and Avraham has a son, Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Fine. They arrive home. He takes her, he puts her in the bag, puts her in a shopping bag. They go on the camels. They come home. She peeps out of the shopping bag and she says, who's this mysterious man walking? Who is this person davening here in the desert? So what should he say? Who? Ben Adoni. Isn't that what she should say? Isn't that what the conditions were? Who? Ben Adoni. Who Adoni? He is my master. He's Yitzchak. But he calls Yitzchak not the Ben Adoni. He calls Yitzchak the Adoni. What has changed?
Where
corporation.
What has changed? But whatever it took, you're ready to go for the corporation. So obviously there has to be some idea. I don't know the exact answer. The idea is that that Lavan and Besuel, the family, didn't really appreciate who she was getting. She thought she's going to marry, pardon the expression, Avraham was a tycoon, right? He owned the whole world, a very wealthy man. So Yitzchak is a spoiled rat. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing, right? What was Yitzchak? He's the son of a multi-billionaire. You can expect, what is the son of a multi-billionaire? Doesn't work a day in his life, has yash and enormous wealth, and runs around the whole day in fancy cars and does nothing. But it's good enough for Lavan. It's good enough for Besuel. He let her be kach v'lechusi yishol levin adoinecha. The yichus is good enough for us. It's good enough. We'll marry the family. He'll do nothing. She'll do nothing. It'll be good enough. It'll be good enough. When Yitzchak, when Eliezer takes, when Eliezer comes and brings Rivka to Yitzchak, he says, "Sir, I don't want it to be any misunderstanding. You don't understand. You're not just marrying the Ben Adoni. You're marrying the Adoni. Yitzchak is the Odon himself. In other words, Yitzchak is on a madrega of being the Odon himself. We know it's a different quality. Shidduch. What?
Moshe.
The Moshe, but it's more. He himself is the Moshe. In other words, it's not just. He's not an insignificant part of something bigger. He is on a level of greatness in his own right. And this is the understanding that there should not be any mistake when it comes to a shidduch. You come to a shidduch, you have to appreciate who you're getting. You're not just marrying into yichus. You have to know, importantly, who is the person. Okay, alright, so let me just make sure I conclude. Okay, just to conclude with one very, very short yisod. Yofes yichasan shal avdei avos. Question, when would it have been the Iker Zman for Eliezer? If we want to repeat the story over and over multiple times, it should have been repeated one more time. When Eliezer arrives home, wouldn't we expect Eliezer to repeat the story a third time?
Yeah.
And tell Yitzchak all the details. All it says is, Vayisaper, it says, Eis kol hadvarim ho'ela. It says that when Eliezer arrives on scene and he meets Yitzchak, he says, he just tells them what happened. The Torah does not repeat the details. What happened to Yofes Sichas Shal Avdei Avos Yosef Mitarat Shal Banim? This is a very simple answer. It's a very Musar Haskalah life. When you got the goods in front of you,
yeah.
You don't have to. You know, you can talk about a shidduch, you can describe a girl, yeah, this mile or that mile or this and this and this and this. You go out with the girl once and you like the girl, you don't need the shatran to tell you, to talk to you, twist your arm 3 hours on the phone and tell you all the milas and what this one says and that one says and what this one friend. When you got the goods in front of you and you like it, that's more than enough. When you don't know, then the Torah, before you do the mitzvah, so therefore, how do you know the mitzvah? The Torah can describe all the details, the Torah can tell you, but when you got the goods and you like it, everything is fun. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Welcome back to the Fire of Israel, and I'll be talking to you.
Have a good Shabbos.